The Colorado Inn and KFKA present Rams Weekly with Kevin Lytle and Brady Hull.
Welcome into Rams Weekly. I love that you're using the rock version of that song, by the way. Our boy Frank and everybody put that together. What is it? What is it, Michael? Go ahead.
Metal version.
Rock version. Whatever. You get it. That's a really cool thing. That's a great tune, by the way. So we're glad we're able to play that. As we're gearing up, it is game week. If finally here, Kevin, we've talked so much about storylines and conference realignment and things like that, and now we can actually talk about the game coming up. You've got CSU and Washington State. This is going to be, I think it's going to be an electric environment on Saturday. You and I are going to be there, so it should be electric.
Yeah, oh, that's the big stuff.
I mean, come on, man. So I think it's going to be a great crowd.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be a pretty good crowd.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be over 30,000. Capacity is 36.5. I think they'll get there, you know, with students. You know, the student crowds have been amazing. So honestly, if all the tickets aren't sold, they'll probably just let more students in. That's been working. That creates an awesome environment. I mean, when CSU's getting 10, 11, 12,000 students in, that place can rock. So I'm really excited. It should be, you know, 5 p.m. kickoff is good. It'll be a pretty hot day, but by 5, it should be pretty pleasant in the stadium.
Yeah, I think so. What do you suggest for those students? You know, when do they start getting into the stadium?
Well, you know, they tend to be late arriving, as students will do, you know, partaking in pregame festivities outside, you know, just studying film and things like
film
that.
Film and probably doing homework.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff. I mean, it's a three-day weekend. You need to start the homework early to make sure to take advantage
That's
of all that
exactly
time.
That's exactly what they'll be doing right
So there will be
game.
Some of that. But, yeah, I mean, I would suggest, you know, CSU will suggest, you know, being seated by about 4:40 for the pregame show in the band and palms, cheerleaders, and then the, you know, kind of the intro light show and all that happens. So being in your seats, you know, good 20 minutes or so before a game, and especially week one, it seems like there are always delays just getting in. You know, the whole process, people that are unfamiliar forget, don't realize, there's, you know, some security screening stuff. It can take a minute to get through. So if you're going, I'd say just give yourself a little extra time. Don't wait until 5 p.m. to try and walk in the door.
Yeah, I'm excited to get out there and see this team in action. I just think it's interesting, Kevin. I mean, you have so much access to this team. You're out there all the time. But we really just don't know what this team's going to look like until they're going up against another opponent.
Totally. I mean, that's the case every season. There's a bit of an unknown. I think the good thing for CSU is, you know, this time last year, Jay Norvell, and he straight up said, I don't know what this team is going to be until we see the field. He didn't like what that team was, you know, the first month of the season, as, you know, there were guys, you know, one foot in, one foot out for various reasons, you know. But this year, it's a roster built in his vision. You know, there are 112, I think, players on the team right now, including walk-ons. Almost all of them were brought in by Jay Norvell and staff, and the ones that, you know, are holdovers are kind of, you know, lost stars like Blackburn, Howell, those guys that any coach would want. So they like the roster. I think Norvell trusts the roster a lot more. You know, one of his phrases, you know, I want to feel these guys. He wants to understand what they're, you know, what is disrupting them? What is, you know, the best way to motivate them in practice? What, you know, what are they encouraged by? And he seems to have that with this team. So again, that's no guarantee how they'll play Saturday, but I think they do feel more confident that their plan will be put into action.
Yeah, and again, so much of it comes down to this offensive line. I know I'm tired of saying it, you know?
They're probably tired of us saying it.
Because it's the number one thing. There's a lot of, you know, it's not tons of little side stories we can talk about with
this
team.
It's number one. Everyone knows it.
But that's the thing. How do they respond? We think it's an improved offensive line. We think there's going to be depth there if, you know, an injury or something happens. But again, you just don't know. And you still might not know fully. I mean, Washington State's a Pac-4, Pac-12 team. They were a bowl team last year. They're a decent football team. So even if the offensive line does get kind of thrown around a little bit, that doesn't necessarily tell us that the offensive line is not improved.
No, I mean, that's the thing. We're not going to get full answers in week one, but you do need to see signs because, yeah, I mean, CSU couldn't do anything against Washington State last year. So you need to have – I mean, I remember some of those plays – Yeah, we know Clay Millen did have troubles holding on the ball too long at times.
Yep.
I haven't watched, you know, all the tape from Washington State, but I sure remember sitting in that press box in Pullman, and it would be like, Millen gets snapped, Millen gets hit. Millen gets snapped, Millen gets hit. It was that. It was like instantaneous. So you need to see improvement there. What I like about this O-line, four of the five starters are new guys, plus Jacob Gardner. They're all doing the opposite of shying away from last year. You know, they could put their hands up and be like, well, I wasn't on that team. I don't have anything to do with it. They're doing the opposite. They're saying, yeah, we weren't on that team, but we're the CSU O-line. People think poorly of the CSU O-line because of that, and we want to fix that. Like, we're here to fix that. So I appreciate that they're kind of taking it head on of like, yeah, we got a point to prove. You know, no, we personally didn't give up those sacks because we were on different teams around the country. But we know it's a big thing, and we're going to put a stop to it. I like that mindset.
I do, too.
Again, will that lead to play on the field? We don't know, but I love the mindset.
Taking ownership, I believe, of being a Ram and the offensive line as a unit, not as an individual, and I think that's
Jay Norvell has talked about one of the things he loves about this team is a lot of these guys, like, this is what they, you know, this is their shot. They are very proud and excited about this shot. And what he means by a lot of that is, you know, guys that maybe didn't have other opportunities or they did and they didn't go well for them. One way or another, they view this as a prime opportunity for their, you know, football career. And that O-line is a big part of that. You know, those four guys, you know, three of them come from lower levels, either FCS or D2. One of them comes from Nevada, and he had just a ton of injuries, you know, basically couldn't play last year. So they all have kind of a point to prove. And Jay's talked a lot about that being a big part of, you know, I guess the recruiting, if you want to call it that, of guys that have that mindset of like, I'm going to take ownership of, you know, my job, my role on this team. And, you know, take advantage of my opportunity rather than like, oh, you know, we've seen and heard about guys, I'm too good for this. I should be playing at a different school. You know, just politics kept me from, you know, the SEC. That's where I should be. You know, he wants guys that say, this is an awesome opportunity for me.
You did an excellent write-up on Torrey Horton, and that's a guy right there that could play, could probably be playing, you know, at a starting role for maybe some SEC teams. Yep. He is that good of a receiver, but he's all about that loyalty with Jay Norvell. And in this day and age, that is so refreshing. And after now I already like Torrey, you know, just talking to him a little bit. After reading your story, I like him even more. I'm rooting for him even more because he's truly one of the good ones.
Yeah, I had a chance to connect with some of Torrey's family, talked to his parents, one of his sisters, awesome family. Jay Norvell's talked so highly about them. And then when I talked to him on phone, I said, oh, yeah, I can see what he means. Just super highly successful family in various ways. You know, very hardworking. And yeah, loyal is the big one. You know, Torrey Horton was basically unrecruited out of high school, which, you know, mind-blowing there. Crazy. You know, that's why when we talk recruiting rankings, it's like, take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Because no one, for some reason, thought Torrey Horton was going to be good. And that dude's all right. But Jay Norvell took a shot at him at Nevada. Obviously, he succeeded there. Jay Norvell leaves. Torrey Horton enters the transfer portal. All the schools are calling him, you know, come play for us, blah, blah, blah. Him and his dad sit down. His dad says, you know, what are you going to do? You got all these schools calling you. He said, nah. Like, why would I talk to them? Like, Jay's the guy that took a shot for me. I'm not going to let him down.
Wow.
And then same thing this offseason. Torrey obviously never entered the transfer portal, but teams still reached out. Violation of NCAA rules, by the way, but that no one cares because there's no – the NCAA doesn't matter. I mean, Torrey shared messages from coaches of money promises of, hey, you come here for these dollars, you know, come on over. And Torrey – I mean, one, he shared them with CSU coaches, so obviously he wasn't looking at leaving or else he wouldn't share those. And yeah, basically just like, no, like Jay gave me a chance. And Norvell even said, you know, he's got a long-term vision. Like instead of, here, let me get, you know, what I can right now. He's a dude that's going to be in the NFL, and he knows he's in a good role here. He'll get seen. And just that loyalty is just huge that Jay Norvell took a shot for me. And so I'm going to give my all for him. It's a pretty cool bond.
It's a very rare thing that we're seeing now. And so seeing something like that is so special. What's so crazy to me that, like, yeah, the NCAA, Torrey has proof that these certain coaches are saying, here's money right here. and you're not able to really get those guys in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Norvell said, you know, they do have, you know, basically screenshots and, you know, they can use them, but, you know, it's almost toothless right now. Like, yeah, you can go shame them and, you know, maybe the NCAA will do some, but you also better have a squeaky clean program if you're going to rat on anyone else.
That's
because
very true.
Because
yeah.
They could turn around. You know, I'm not saying this is the case here, but, you know, that's why I think a lot of coaches know that, well, we can probably have a, you know, some assistant, grad assistant, some do some, because what are they going to do? Turn around, you know. Turn around and
yeah, I think
but
you're exactly
it's so
right.
dirty.
That's a great
it's
point.
So dirty, and I mean, Torrey's not the only Colorado State football player or Colorado State overall student athlete that has had this happen. It's a big problem in the NCAA. I mean, if people that listen to me know, I'm an advocate of NIL and the transfer portal, but it has opened up this hole because again, the NCAA instead of just creating regulations. Just fought against it, with no chance of ever winning. So it's, cliche, but wild, wild west. But Torrey Horton, like I say, he's incredibly. We can all see his football talent. It's the last thing Jay Norvell mentions when you ask him about Torrey Horton. It's how hardworking he is, how loyal he is, how humble he is, how good an example he is for his teammates. And it's like, oh yeah, and like he's pretty good at football.
He's like one
like
of the
that
best.
That's
yeah.
like the bottom thing of his, you know, what Jay Norvell thinks of him.
It's how you build a program. I mean, we talk about culture a lot. I get that, but it's how you build a program, finding guys that fit what your vision is for this football team. Big shout out to Frank Trimble and Jesse Cohen for that rendition of the Rams fight song that we introed the show with. Jesse, I do want to throw a shout out. He is with a band called aplaceforowls.com. So we thank them for letting us use that. I absolutely love it. It mixes Ram stuff with rock music. Gotta love it. All right, that's Rams Weekly. We will continue here on the other side. Game week preparation. What to expect from the Washington State Cougars. All that and more coming up next. Welcome back into Rams Weekly here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Happy to be partnering, of course, each and every year on this show with the Coloradoan. Love what you guys do. Kevin, just following your stuff and all these stories. Great reading material to lead you into what should be an exciting game and an exciting atmosphere this weekend.
Yeah, I'm like you said at the top, it's nice to have, you know, real football games to talk about. You know, preseason's good in a lot of ways. You know, a lot we can glean from that. The realignment stuff, interesting in a lot of ways. But it's nice to just get to football now.
It is. And trust me, I love doing a three-hour radio show. I love talking about those stories every single day. You know, transfer portal, NIL, the conference realignment. That's all good. But there was a point finally about a week or two ago where I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with that. I actually want to see a game take place, and we can sit back and talk about what guy performed well, how did this defense look, and so we're going to get that coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. There's, you know, you can get some answers in preseason, and we have, but yeah, until you get to the real games, you can't fully answer all of them.
All right, so talk to us about Washington State. This team, of course, they were like a bowl win. They were a bowl team last year. It depends on who you ask, but it seems like they're a decent football team.
Yeah,
for the most part.
Pretty solid team. I think most people expect, again, a bowl team, sort of mid to upper tier of the Pac-12 for this year.
Yeah.
It's still 12 for this year.
For this year,
you know,
sure.
Everyone else, you know, they're walking out the door. But yeah, they should be pretty solid. Really good quarterback and Cam Moore, guy that came from the FCS ranks, was quite good last year. Caused CSU a lot of problems, although CSU had lots of problems in that game. But they can be pretty exciting on offense. Defense, you know, I think they had some turnover in the secondary. Deion Henley, their best defensive player is now in the NFL. Their defensive front last year was quite good. I think that'll be the case again this year. But it should be a pretty solid team. But again, week one, especially in the portal era, there's a little bit of uncertainty just because you're always going to have new pieces.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Washington State, as Kevin, we've talked about this. They've lost some guys in the portal. They've gained some guys in the portal. New offensive coordinator for them. So, again, there's newness there. I suppose if there was a time, and I know this is a cliche, but if there's a time to catch a team that's going through some of those growing pains with new coach, with a new offensive coordinator, some new players, I suppose it would be week one.
I think it always favors the quote-unquote underdog in week one. Now,
yeah,
obviously,
right.
those teams, have, you know, CSU has stuff they're working out and figuring through, too. But you're kind of, again, you're the underdog. So if it goes awry and you lose, that's sort of the expectation. Whereas, you know, the favored bigger team, if they're, you know, trying to figure things out and are unable to, that's how they can get got. You know, we see weird results week one. Every single year, there will be some this weekend. Will it be in Fort Collins? Don't know. But I think if you're CSU, you're feeling, you know, pretty good about this matchup of it's a good time. You know what you are as a team compared, you know, compared to where you were at this time last year. And you're playing in front of a big home crowd. And, you know, I don't know what altitude matters. But, you know, especially if CSU is able to control the tempo on offense, maybe pick up the pace a bit. It certainly wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't if they can get things rolling. And again, we've talked a lot about this offensive line, and I think the worst, like one of the terrible scenarios for CSU would be, oh, this offensive line's blocking, but Clay Millen's still kind of finding his struggle. So there, that's certainly another big story. Is it's always your quarterback. When it's not the lead story, it's still almost the biggest story.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot of pressure on Clay Millen because we have all been fair, and we've said, hey, Clay held on to the ball too long. He's done some of these things. But we've always ultimately we've given him the ultimate excuse of, well, it's a bad offensive line.
Yeah.
Well, you're hoping you don't have that this year. And if he doesn't have that, can he be that quarterback that we're really maybe expecting him to be this season?
Yeah, no, it is an important season. You know, it's year two as a starter and year three in the system. And the coaching staff has said this. Clay has said this of, you know, young mistakes, you know, time for those to be gone. Not young anymore. You know, 3 years in a system is quite a while, especially in today's day and age. So, Clay needs to take a step up, unleash the offense. But obviously, the O-line has a role to play in that. But there are some where, yeah, he needs to get the ball out quicker, maybe make a more decisive action in getting the ball out to someone. Probably more aggressive in the intermediate and deep passing game. They had some successes on deep balls. I would need to look back. It seems like those came more when they were losing and kind of had to, you know, really take the, you know, unleash a bit.
Yeah.
So you'd like to see some of that earlier, take some chances. And then kind of combined with that, you need to lead games this season. It's hard to come from behind at any time, but especially if the clock changes, you really want to be ahead. And, you know, CSU needs one of those good offensive days to give, you know, Clay, the O-line, the whole team some confidence. You know, this is a team that didn't score 20 points in a game last year.
Yeah,
so they need to have one of those early on.
How important would it be then? I mean, again, all quarters, coaches will tell you important, but I just think that first quarter, it was 21-0 against Washington State at the end of the first last year. I just think that if you could get off to a pretty good start early on, maybe that opening drive, you go down and get a field goal, or that would be great if it was a touchdown. I just think the confidence through everybody, the defense.
And the energy in the stadium,
yeah.
I totally agree. I mean, if let's say CSU gets the ball first, if you can hit a couple big passes, go down and score. Obviously, you know, we're talking dream scenario start. But Canvas would really be rocking. It would create a momentum and energy within the team, within the stadium. So, yeah, there, like you said, there's never a bad time to score and lead and all that. This would be a really nice one for CSU to start well, because that's what happened last year. Even the Middle Tennessee game, where CSU did show some flashes and kind of attempt to come back, they got in a huge hole early.
Yeah.
That happened a lot last year, especially early on. Again, against Michigan at the Big House, sure, fine. That's okay. But yeah, you can't go down 21-0 in a quarter to a team like Washington State, a team that in theory you should at least be able to hang with. I'm not saying, you know, it's a must win, you should beat this team, but you should be able to at least compete.
Yeah, no question. You want to see this team be competitive. I don't know that, you know, the logical fans are necessarily saying this is win or I'm going to feel really bad about this team, but you want to see this team compete. And, you know, I think the spread's 11. You want to see them at least at the bare minimum floating around
in that area.
Yeah, and I think that would at least go, okay, this Rams team's better. Maybe you lose 35 to 21 or something like that. This Rams team looks a little bit better. But I do think that there is some real talk about could the Rams actually pull this off and beat Washington State.
Yeah, no, that chatter's around. It's not outlandish. It's maybe over-exuberance of week one, but it's not outlandish to think CSU could win this game. But it absolutely has to be a better showing. And, you know, like you said, 21-0 after a quarter, 38-7 final, and that's because Washington State hit the brakes in the second half and said, okay, we've won it, cruise control. And, if they had won, they could have hung 60 on CSU. Felt like that's how bad things were going for CSU. So, yeah, it has to be a much different type of game. If Washington State leaves with a win, make it one that, felt like Washington State earned it rather than, last year CSU basically just handed it to them. And Washington State didn't need it to be handed to them, but CSU sure did.
I'm just so curious, Kevin, to see how this team ultimately looks, because we've talked so much about them. And, Jay Norvell, everybody loves Jay Norvell. I mean, they do. He's a likable guy. He's got the gas station shirt thing. I mean, I dig all that stuff. The complete opposite of Adazio, where it was like, he better win quickly because there's no other redeeming quality about this guy. Jay Norvell has all the other things, too. But now's the time to see if he can really do what he did with Nevada year 1-2. Can you improve this team vastly going forward? And that's going to be the big question happening this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, like you say, everything is spot on that, Jay is a likable guy. Everyone in Fort Collins likes him. And it will help, buy time and patience. But you do have, it's a winning business. Norvell knows that, says it. You need to start getting some results. Like I said, I think it's last week, 3-9 would not be good.
No, it would
not. I don't expect that.
I don't either.
But yeah, you would start getting a lot of angst if that happened.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the other side of that football, the defensive side. I think they were under the radar last year. They're certainly on our radar this year. Let's discuss on the next segment here on Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Weekly. Colorado State playing host to Washington State this weekend, Saturday, late afternoon, early night-ish, 5 o'clock. And this will be, we'll get some national exposure with CBS being out there. Friend of ours, Randy Cross, is going to be out there calling this game. So there's going to be eyeballs on this program. And I think this is a huge opportunity for not only the Colorado State Rams, but for the Mountain West Conference.
Absolutely. And any time you face a power team, and then especially with the weirdness of conference realignment, the idea maybe that Washington State could be a conference foe down the road, this is an intriguing game that I think a lot of people will be paying attention to. And yeah, there are no answers in realignment and right now, and one game isn't going to change things, but winning a game like this in front of a big crowd on TV wouldn't hurt anything CSU's trying to do.
No, I don't think so. I think all this would be great and these big conversations and all that. And we've talked a little bit about what needs to happen with the offensive line and giving Clay Millen some time. And then Clay, what can he do with that time? How about the defensive side of the ball, Kevin? That is the unit that we feel pretty good with. Now, let's be fair. It wasn't like they were perfect last season. They certainly had their games where they gave up a lot of points. But for the most part, especially as the Mountain West Conference schedule progressed, their defense was playing very well for the most part. And now I think we expect this to be a good defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And they expect to be a good defense. Some of the star players, Chigi Anuzia, Mo Kamara, have said, we should be best in the Mountain West. And yeah, they started slow last year. Non-conference wasn't great, which, it wasn't for any part of the CSU football team. But then in Mountain West play, starting with that Nevada game where they really shut down Nevada, scored two defensive touchdowns. Those were the only touchdowns CSU scored were defensive touchdowns. They were quite good in – they were phenomenal, I would say, in 7 of the 8 Mountain West games. The Boise game went pretty awry on them, as Boise games tend to do for CSU these days. But overall, in Mountain West play, that was a really good defense. So if you can carry that over, that to me is the biggest thing. Can you carry that in and start the season well and do it, you know, against a good team like a Washington State, against a sort of unknown team, not sort of completely unknown team in Colorado?
Yeah.
In addition to, yeah, it's one thing to shut out New Mexico. That's great. You know, do that anytime you can. But can you keep CSU in games against, you know, bigger and better teams as well?
Yeah, that's going to be the question. Just how good is this defense? And it certainly have guys that look the part. You know, I think you got a couple of future NFL guys there.
Yep.
Mo Kamara for sure, and maybe a Jack Howell at that level.
Chiggy.
Certainly some other players that are just really good that are maybe have a chance to go down as some of those CSU greats. And I'm excited to see what they can do. Strength of this team, though, it does. It feels like this defensive line is going to be good as far as getting to the quarterback, and that is going to be key. But there's also the safeties, too. We look at those guys. What is the actual strength of this team, like the number one?
It's a good question. It almost depends on how you define it. I think your best starting group is the safeties with Aiden Hector, Jack Howell, Henry Blackburn.
Yeah.
If we're talking overall group, top to bottom, I think it's the D-line because you have a star in Mo Kamara, who's probably the best player on defense, I would say. There are some arguments there, but Mo is in that group. But then you have a lot of depth. Grady Kelly, Cam Baratow, James Mitchell in the middle are good players. And then you have, you know, Nuer Gatkuth, I'm really excited to see on the outside. Then, you know, a Tony Pierce, Mukindi Wakalanji. You have a lot of talent. They're going to roll. Freddie Banks said they may roll 12 players on the D-line, which is an insane number. I've never heard it, you know, a team that feels they're that deep. But if they can stay fresh, you know, they don't want to blitz, really. They're going to use those four to try and get pressure. So I think that D-line is the deepest group. The safeties might be, you know, the best starting group.
What do you think of on the defensive side? Yeah, I agree with you on the safeties and what we can expect from those guys, but this defensive line as well. When you look at Washington State, Kevin, they're returning their quarterback in Cameron Ward. He's the first returning starter at quarterback since Luke Falk back in 2017.
Wow. I didn't know that one.
There's some consistency there, finally, for Washington State. He can escape the pocket if he needs to.
Yep.
He's not really a deep pass kind of guy, but he can run around and do something. How much of a fit is that going to provide for Colorado State this week?
Yeah, so a guy like Cam is interesting because I wouldn't necessarily say he's a running quarterback.
No.
They're not drawing up a lot of runs, but he can run. Kind of like Clay showed, which surprised me last year. But basically what that means is that D-line, you have to be smart in what you're doing because if you just charge straight up field, he'll just slip past you and like I say, they may not be designed to run, but if it's there, he's going to go take it. So you have to be smart and in system in your pass rushing, you know, mind your gaps, things like that. So it does lead to, you know, needing some discipline. But again, if you can get in the backfield quickly, especially this is where, like, Mo is Mo. We know what he is. But if Cam Baratow, Grady Kelly can get pressure up the middle, that's what really can wreck an offense and make a quarterback that can move a little jittery because they don't like – generally, you don't want to go backwards to try and swing wide because you know Mo is out there somewhere.
Yeah, no, and I think that's why having so many of these key players on your defensive side of the ball I think is such a luxury coming in. Just how good are they? That's the question. But you don't have to worry about too many guys just absolutely getting flat out athleted or anything like that.
Yep, and it's all, you know, it's also a motivating factor too. You know, when you're on the field, those D linemen are going to give everything they have in a certain rep because they know, A, they probably only have a few reps, but B, if they're playing poorly, there are like eight other dudes behind them that coach can put in and sit your butt down if you're not playing well. Like Norvella said, the bench is the best motivator, so you really have that work in that D-line room of you better earn your reps because if you're putting bad reps on film, they'll just sit you down because they got someone else.
Yeah, and I think that you're right. That's a great motivator, and that will keep the motor churning for all of these guys knowing, hey, if I'm getting in, I got to make something. I got to make some noise to put my stamp on this game pretty quickly.
Totally.
When we look at this Freddie Banks and all that with what they did last year on the defensive side, it is an interesting one, Kevin, because you want him to be super successful. You want this defense to be awesome. But you know that if this defense is as good as maybe we're thinking it's going to be, Freddie Banks is probably gone at the end of the season.
It's a possibility for sure. I mean, he had offers, Power 5 offer this offseason, Norvell says, decided to stay. I don't know, you know, what school that was, but Freddie is a hot name in the coaching ranks. People are going to be going after him, especially, like you say, if the defense has the season that they could have. But that's a problem for another day.
CSU
has these successes that would lead to teams wanting to poach their coaches, that's a problem CSU football hasn't had in a little while. So it would be one you would want to figure out and try and keep, but it would be a nice problem to have because it'd mean you actually had success, CSU football hasn't had.
And that would be great. And, you know, again, that's future CSU's problem.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not this case.
That's a conversation for Rams Weekly in December, not Rams Weekly in August.
That's a Rams Monthly conversation.
Exactly.
You know, not a weekly one.
Brady and Kevin can deal with that one later.
We'll worry about that one when we get to it. But again, this would be such a monster win for Colorado State. Some big matchups in the rest of the Mountain West, too. You got Wyoming going up against Texas Tech. You've got Boise State at Washington.
Yep.
So interesting matchups.
Fresno at Purdue is intriguing.
Yeah, that's intriguing as well. And those matchups, again, as we have these conversations about the Mountain West and what it looks like, sure ain't going to hurt if Boise State pulls off an upset, CSU pulls off an upset, and Wyoming pulls off an upset in Fresno.
You don't have Nevada beating USC?
I thought about it. The 38, if it would have gone to 40.
That's when you feel okay. But no, it is. I mean, that's where, you know, the Mountain West has these opportunities early in seasons. And again, it would be a great time, you know, for the league to pick up some wins like this, some national attention and exposure. And yeah, it's a very intriguing week one.
Yeah, it really is. All right, when we come back, Kevin, you're going to give a pick for us. We're going to give our picks.
Absolutely.
We'll give our CSU picks against Washington State coming up this weekend. And we'll look at some of the key matchups. We don't have to pick every Mountain West game, but let's pick some of the significant ones.
Big time weekend.
All right, it's Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back into Rams Weekly as we're set to wrap up another edition of the program here, gearing you up for all things Colorado State and Washington State. Coming up right after the show, we're going to send it to Abilene Christian. We're going to send it to Abilene, Texas, and we'll get set to watch or hear from Blake Olson and Matt Gator on the call as the UNC Bears are taking on Abilene Christian in Texas tonight. That game is 6 o'clock. And the new head coach, Ed Lamb, we'll see if that can start off with a bang. So I'm interested to see what happens.
Very interesting week for just Colorado football as a whole.
Yeah, some great matchups, or great games, I should say, where it gives you an opportunity to learn about these teams going forward and everything, and some big matchups specifically in the Mountain West Conference. So before we look at CSU and Washington State, and we give our official picks there, let's look at some of the other key matchups. Air Force Robert Morris, I'm not really looking at that. That's fine. Wyoming and Texas Tech, that's 5:30. That's going to be on CBS. It's in Wyoming, of course. Texas Tech coming in as a 14-point favorite. We're hearing that Craig Bowles going to try to throw it around a little bit more, that maybe he's changed some things. The defense will be good. They're always good.
Always.
What do you think of this game?
It's a somewhat similar to CSU one of, you know, sort of a mid-tier power program coming in, you know, some uncertainty. Going to Laramie, we know, is hard. Again, the altitude effect obviously could be even greater there, especially Lubbock. I don't know my exact elevations, but I think Lubbock pretty low. That's one I think Tech will win, but I think Wyoming mucks it up and keeps it close-ish, and, you know, I could see Wyoming lose but cover.
Yeah, I'm kind of there, too. I could see that happening because, again, Wyoming, they're not Air Force, but there are similarities there just in how they slow a game down and what they can do when they get that run game going. Is that run game as strong as we've seen in the past? Who knows? But I'm with you. I think they can cover this, But I just can't say. Texas Tech is going to be a pretty good team.
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm with you on that one. You talk about the Fresno State-Purdue game. Looking at that, Purdue's just a 3.5-point favorite. Fresno State without
Yeah, Purdue's been struggling. And yeah, Fresno, I'm just unsure of what to expect. You know, with Hayner gone, obviously he was such a big piece.
So
you know,
good.
We saw Fresno kind of fall off when he went down last year.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I'm going to say I don't believe in Fresno State yet and make them prove me wrong, so I got Purdue to cover, but
100%.
It's an intriguing one because Purdue obviously right now is not a great, you know, Power 5 program at the moment, but I'm just unsure of Fresno post-Hayner right now.
I'm with you 100% on that side of it. Boise State at Washington. Washington's a, what, top 10 team?
Yeah, I mean,
ranked.
They're like... potential playoff, maybe
could,
a playoff dark
be.
Horse.
Wouldn't
is that fair?
Something if a Pac-12.
How funny it'd be, you know, two Pac-12, watch like USC and Washington, you know, basically run the tables except for, you know, playing each other and somehow both get in.
Yeah, they get
Kliakoff, you know, as he's getting fired, and just goes out middle fingers up or something.
And he gets them in, yeah. That would be interesting. And Washington is supposed to be good. We think Boise State's going to be pretty good with that quarterback. Now, I watched the old Boise State quarterback over the weekend, Hank Buckmeyer, play. Had some moments there, but I think Boise State's pretty happy with the guy they have behind center.
I like Taylen Green. I like their running backs. I think Boise has a chance to be pretty good. What's the line on that one again?
That one is Washington by 14, favored by 14.
I'm torn because I think Boise's pretty good, but I definitely think Washington's really good. Washington's going to win. I feel comfortable in that.
I think so.
It's the cover. I think I'm going to give Washington the cover. Boise, the last few years, has started slow.
Yeah.
But I do like that Boise team. I think they'll be good, but I'm going to say this is a bridge too far for them right now.
I'm with you on Washington winning. You know what? Just for changing it up a little bit, again, this game will be on ABC at 1:30. I'm going to say Boise State keeps it close enough, and they at least cover this.
I think
this
that's
thing.
Very possible, yeah.
Okay, for fun, Nevada, USC. What do you think? Nevada's favored by 30.
Lines that big are hard.
I'm scared of those because
again, you can just like pull all the starters. And
well, now you can run the clock a little more.
That too, and USC's already played a game, so this isn't even, you know, week one for them. They're
oh, and Caleb Williams just looked
I think SC gets out to a massive early lead. Caleb Williams is, you know, out to the bars by halftime.
whoever
the next kid up is. So I'm gonna say Nevada covers, but it's gonna be like a 35-point game, and it will be over by 5 minutes in.
I'm with you. I hate.
I would never touch
spreads.
A game like that
if
I were, you know, someone that partook in these.
28, I would touch, but 38, no way.
So much.
It was funny because with the I don't have the Pac-12 network, so I was just game casting the USC game. With San Jose State.
Yeah.
And it's just every time I would refresh, look down, USC's down the field, Caleb Williams, like 25-yard touchdown or something like that.
He is ridiculous. The real deal. But yeah, I mean, a line that big, you know, a late garbage touchdown can swing it for you pretty easily.
All right, so Colorado State and Washington State as we kind of wrap this program up. 5:00 on CBS Sports Network. This is a Washington State team that's favored by 11. The line's moved a little bit, though. It seems like there's some confidence coming in for the Colorado State Rams. Kevin, what do you think?
Yep, so I have a predictions column coming out Friday morning, and within it I said CSU would quickly break that 20-point mark and score 20-plus against Washington State. So I have to stick with that. Earlier on the whole show, I believe I said CSU loses but covers, so I'm going to stick with that. So I'm going to go a 27-20 Washington State win.
27-20. Okay, this is where I got to be careful. Because I'm going to be at the game. I'm excited. I believe it's possible that CSU can win this game. There's a part of me that really wants to hammer that down and just go for it. But I could also see a few struggles. I'm torn, man. You know
me
what?
Too.
You know what? I'm just going to do it. I think
can
CSU's going to win this game.
There it is.
Yeah.
There he is.
You got one.
Brady's still here.
You know it. You knew it was coming. Okay. I don't want to... I was just going to take him to cover, but
this man's conflicted, folks. If you could see me looking across the table, he is squirming. Man, he doesn't know what to do.
I have been thinking about this for months. I have been, because I know I got full picks and all that we go through every single week, But I'm just, there's something in my gut saying that this thing is going to work, that Jay Norvell's got this thing right.
I mean, your conflict is the same that I've had with my season win total. I keep swinging back and forth a little bit because, yeah, you can, it's very fair to talk yourself into a lot of good, but it's also very fair to look at some, you know, concerns about, I think within this game, that's your inner turmoil.
I just don't know. Like everybody keeps asking, and like I said, Kevin, you probably get this question way more, but it's like, what do you think they're going to do this year? Well, they improved the line. They should be better. But then again, Clay is still kind of unproven, and the offensive line is still unproven, even though it sounds like they've improved the line. So
you're waffling. Make a pick.
All right. CSU.
There
you're going to win the
game. You got a score?
Let's go.
We go high detail on the picks on Rams Weekly.
You got 27-20?
Yep.
They're not going to score 30, are they? They're not going to score 30. They didn't score 20 last year, right?
Yeah, that's why I just nudged over or to the 20 mark.
It's tough because you expect Washington State to score 20-plus. Okay, I'm going to go 24-21.
There it is.
Colorado State.
Jordan Noyes come across the pond from England. I mean, Grand with a stop in Utah for several years. Hit a game winner. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
You're going to go all the way in. We're just going to go full drama.
Yeah, we're going to game winner. We drive down. Dallin Holker, middle of the field, gets it, sets it up. We go up, spike the ball. Let's kick it and get out of here.
CSU's never had a problem with rushing a field goal unit out, right? I shouldn't have brought that back up.
Oh, yeah, that was...
No, they've got... They actually practice... This team actually practices special teams, so you're all right there.
All right, so you got them covering the spread. I got them winning the game. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm excited to see this team in action.
If Jordan Noyes hits a game-winning field goal at the death, we might have to like go live Saturday night.
I'll be sitting right... I don't know if I'll be sitting right next to you. The seating code.
Well, we'll figure it out.
You know, they never let me sit by you.
We'll figure it out.
They usually put me with like random people that I don't know. And then they don't talk to me.
Maybe we can slide some money across the table, see.
Move people around for me, Kevin. You'll be there earlier than me. All right, this has been Rams Weekly. Kevin has some great write-ups and pregame write-ups for you for the rest of the week, leading you right into opening kickoff. Check out coloradoan.com. This has been Rams Weekly on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.